what I preach and teach. It's usually just a straight line exposition of the Word of God. And it'll be that. But this time of year, particularly when we decided to have this Christmas play, it brought back a lot of old memories. Now, for some of you, Christmas has a certain meaning. For our children, it has a very special meaning. Imogene and I were born back during the Depression. I was born in 1932, and I'm not allowed to tell you when Imogene was born. But we were born during the Depression. So we didn't have much. But it's amazing, even though you don't have much, if you have anticipation, a very little satisfies a great deal. My father abandoned me and my mother and brother when I was 8 years old. So after that, the Christmases were pretty lean. But there was always Christmas, and there was always this figure called Santa Claus. And it was something that as a child was very real to me. So when our children came along, we determined that our children were going to have a lot of things that we never had. And I think my son Tom and the rest of our children will tell you, we always went all out at Christmas. We played it to the hilt. And we gave them a lot of Christmas memories that we didn't have because we came from poor families and we had a kind of a hard life when we were young. But even though we didn't have much, I always had some things that I looked forward to at Christmas. And I remember one year all I got was a 29-cent cannon. But you know, that 29-cent cannon was real special to me because Santa Claus brought it. And I suppose the greatest thing about Christmas that I remember as a child was that when Santa came, he always left me something. And there was this fella in a jolly red suit. And he was very real to me. And of course, I finally got so old that Santa Claus stopped bringing me things. You all know that when you reach a certain age, Santa stops bringing you things. And so he just brings you things when you're young. But those were some of the most exciting times of my life. So I'd like to kind of draw some parallels here this morning about a relationship that I have with Jesus Christ that's a lot realer. It's a lot more genuine. And it's something that involves putting away the childish things of youth and something that I get a great deal more pleasure out of because it's real and it's genuine. You know, a lot of people have a lot of problems with what a saving faith is. The faith that saves is a faith that keeps on believing. It's not a temporary thing. It's a thing that never goes away. You never stop believing that Jesus is God's Son. You never stop believing that he's who he claimed to be. You have good days and bad days. You have uncertain days, firm days, but you never stop believing. The faith that saves is a faith that keeps on believing. It is a childlike faith that first believes, then trusts in the promise of rewards for seeking to please the one who saved by his amazing grace. It was very important to me as a child to please Santa Claus. My mom and dad told me when I first remember the first time I ever was introduced to the concept of Santa Claus, they told me that if I had a good report at the end of the year, and I had been a good boy all year long, that Santa would bring me some gifts and he would come down the chimney. I never did understand how he got down that chimney. And that he would bring these gifts and he would leave them for me. So I would try to stay awake desperately because I wanted to see. It wasn't the gifts that he brought that were important. Well, they were as a child. I won't diminish that. But the very fact that a man lived at the North Pole that had a big white beard and wore this red suit and had a lot of elves working for him, and they made these toys all year long, and Miss Santa Claus was there, I wanted to go to the North Pole. I wanted to go up there and just spend the whole year with Santa Claus. And it was very real to me. And that was the joy of Christmas to me at that time. Even though we didn't have anything, it was the fascination of knowing that someone in a red suit was coming to see me, and his elves had worked all year long on making those toys. The faith that saved is a faith that keeps on believing. It is a childlike faith that first believes, then trusts in the promise of rewards for seeking to please the one who saves by his amazing grace. The writer of the book of Hebrews wrote something about faith that you can have 100% confidence in because it's the inspired word of God. In Hebrews 11:6, we're told that without faith, it is impossible. There's no way you can do it. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. Then he tells you what a childlike faith is. For he that cometh to God must believe that he is. First, you must believe that he is. and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's a very childlike faith. You know, I had a childlike faith in Santa Claus. I believed that he was when I was very young. And I believed that if I would be good all year long, that I'd have a good report, like a report card. And if I had a good report, then Santa Claus would be inclined to bring me more gifts. Grandmother Drennan, who was my mother's mother, she was kind of stern about Christmas, and she used to say that if I didn't get a good report, I'd get a bag of switches. So you've heard this old story about getting a bag of switches, and I was always concerned about getting that bag of switches because I knew a lot of stuff I was doing that Mom and Dad didn't know. When I was a very small child, Mom and Dad told me about Santa Claus, that if I had a good report at year's end, then he would bring me presents on Christmas Eve as a reward. So I believed that he would. And I kept on believing year after year, trying to have a good report when he came so that he would reward me on Christmas Eve. Some of the young boys and girls here today, you do the same thing. See, Santa Claus quit coming to see me. When you get to be a certain age, he quits coming. And so when I reached that certain age, Santa Claus stopped coming to see me. But it was pretty exciting because before that, I'd try all year long to be as good a boy as I could so that he would bring me more presents at Christmas. Now, the Lord talks about what faith really is. And remember that the faith that saves is a childlike faith. It's not complicated. It's not some big thing that can't be understood. In Hebrews 11, 1 and 2, God gives us a definition of what faith is. Now, of course, this isn't faith in Santa Claus. It's faith in Jesus Christ, and it's faith in the promises of God. Now, remember how the writer of Hebrews, by the Holy Spirit, described what faith is. But without faith, it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. So then, in the same writer, in chapter 11, verses 1 and 2, now faith is the substance of things hoped for. I had faith that Santa Claus was going to bring me some good stuff. The evidence of things not seen. I believe if I had a good report, that he would actually bring me things I hoped for and things that I had never seen, but they were being made at the North Pole by those little elves, and Miss Claus was up there watching him. They were everything, and Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Well, they didn't have Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer when I grew up. That song, Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer had a very shiny nose, and if you ever saw it, you would even say it glows. We didn't have that. We had On Donner, On Blitzen, and named all the reindeer. They were very real to me. And I believe that they came and they landed on top of our house and he came down the chimney. But I never could figure out how he got down that chimney. But somehow he always managed. My faith had substance because I tried to be a good boy all year. My faith had evidence. You could see that I was trying to get this good report. So I'd never seen the things I was hoping for, but I knew Santa Claus was making them at the North Pole where his elves were. And I knew he was superintending it. And the things not seen. Well, I'd never seen what they were making, but my conduct gave evidence that I believed it because I tried to be a good boy. I won't lie to you. I was a pretty bad boy up until about the 10th of December. Then from 10th of December to the 25th, I was a model child, hoping to make up for all the year before it. Now, what is this kind of faith? For by it, the elders obtained a good report. Well, when I got to be a certain age, like Santa Claus always does, he quit coming to see me because you can't expect Santa Claus to come see great big old boys and great big old girls. He just comes to see little ones. But it bothered me for a long time when he stopped coming to see me. But now I understand, and I don't have a problem with it. Now, does my faith have substance now? I'm standing down here in front of you, and I'm preaching and teaching from God's Word. I've been at this church for 26 years. Surely my faith has substance and gives evidence that I believe that Jesus is who he claimed to be. Every time you come to church as a child of God, after you've been saved, it gives substance to your faith. Somebody says, he goes to church, she goes to church. They worship God. Every time I give something to the Lord, every time I give an offering, it's substance and evidence that I believe in the things I've never seen. I believe in things hoped for. I believe there's a city three-fifths the size of the United States that's going to come and settle down on this earth. It says so in God's Word. Now, I'm not a child anymore, but I am a man. And as a man, I know these things to be true because God says they're true. And I'm looking for this city. I'm looking for rewards in heaven, and I'm trying to have a good report. The good report is not what saved me. I was saved by grace through faith. But now I'm waiting for my Savior to come. And when he comes, he's going to judge me.
He's not going to send me to hell. I've been saved by grace through faith. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. I'm going to heaven. So what is my life supposed to be about now? Developing a good report. The fact that you're here this morning has substance. I can see that you believe. It gives evidence that you have some concern of some degree in your heart for the Lord. So your faith has substance. What is faith? But without faith it is impossible to please him, for he that cometh to God must believe that he is. That's what saves you, when you put your faith in his Son that he sent and died for your cross, died on the cross for your sins. But what kind of faith does he want? And that he's a rewarder of them that diligently seek him. That's why I'm up here preaching and teaching this morning. Hopefully that's why you're here. You're seeking the things of God for your life. About the same time I was told about the existence of Santa Claus, I was also told about Jesus. I was told that God was his heavenly Father, and I was taught every night to pray. And every night I'd get down beside my bed. Mom taught me this. Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, I did that from the time I was very, very young. I don't remember, but it was about the same time I was told about Santa Claus. And so every night I would pray, and I would pray this prayer. I would say, now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. If I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Well, years went by, and time passed. When I finally understood why Christ had died for my sins, when I understood that Jesus had lived a perfect life and ascended up on a hill called Golgotha and gave his life, I asked him to save me and keep me from hell. And he saved me at that time. How do I know? The word of God he left said, so then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And just a few verses above it said, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I'm absolutely positive that he saved me. You said, surely you can't believe that. I told you it was a childlike faith. That's the only kind of faith that saves. It's just a childlike faith. God can't expect you to think like a full-blown heavenly being like himself. And so when you come to Christ, there's only one way to come. I don't care if you're 80 years old, if you're 90 years old, if you're 10 years old, if you're 12 years old. You've got to come to Christ believing that he is. And you've got to believe that his word is true and he'll do what he said. And you put your faith in him. I'm absolutely positive I'm saved. Why? Because I called upon the name of the Lord. And he saved me at about age, well, it was age 12. I believe he is very real and will keep on trusting him until he comes. I have a simple childlike faith in him, even though I am physically 68 years old. I can state to you the hydrostatic equation, 2mv omega sine phi. I'm a scientist. I'm a professional certified meteorologist, and I'm a geologist. And so I have a lot of head knowledge. But head knowledge is not what saves. What saves is a simple awareness in a human heart that it needs a Savior, that there is such a place called hell, and that you are under the condemnation of God, and that you have to come to God through his Son, and that's why Jesus died, so you could. I have a very simple childlike faith. I was saved by what Jesus did on the cross, and by his life that he lived for my sins. I was saved by him performing an act that I am incapable of performing. He lived above sin all his life. And then he laid his body upon a cross, took my sins in his own body on the cross, and died for me and buried them with him, removing them from me as far as east is from west. And God resurrected him from the dead and gave him a name that is above every name. I bow before Christ in my heart, and I acknowledge without Christ I would go straight to hell. I have a simple childlike faith. Jesus saved me, and Jesus is going to keep me. Of that I'm absolutely positive. In John 3:7-3, he tells you about this new birth. It's not something you can muster up on your own. It's not something you can work up. It's not something that you can master through intelligence, through learning, through expertise, through your own natural abilities. You can't do it. It's something you have to depend upon the Lord to do. And I'm absolutely positive he did. Why? Because I believe his word. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I know that 68 years ago, when I asked him to save me, he did. And I know that it's eternal. John 3:7. Marvel not that I said unto thee, ye must be born again. Again means from above. It means you're going to have to trust the power of God to save you by the mercy and the grace that is in Jesus Christ. It means you can't trust in your baptism. You can't trust in your works. You can't trust in your church membership. you can't trust in anything except Jesus Christ. And when you put your faith in him, then God gives you the new birth when you ask to receive it. In John 3:3, he tells you why you have to be born again. Jesus answered and said unto him, Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. You can't understand spiritual things. They're a mystery to you. You can't grasp what the kingdom of God is. To see means to mentally understand. Like 1 and 1 is 2, 2 and 2 and 4, and you say, oh, I see. You can't understand what the kingdom of God is. You can't understand spiritual things until you come to the one who is the king over this kingdom, Jesus Christ. And you can't come to him except you have a repentant heart. Paul preached and taught repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. The night I was saved, I had no problem with knowing I was a sinner. I was deeply saddened by it. I wanted to turn to God. That's what repentance is. So I turned to God, and I did what it requires to be saved by the Word of God. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I repented toward God, I turned toward him, and I put all my faith in Jesus Christ. How do you know you put your faith in him? I asked him to say, would you pray to a dead man? Would you pray to someone that was dead? When I prayed and asked him to save me, I was praying to someone I believed was alive. And because he is alive, and because he was resurrected from the dead, and because he paid the price for my sins, he gave me the life that God gave him, and it's eternal. It's mine forever. It's the greatest gift I ever received, the greatest gift any man or woman can ever receive, because you're taken out from under the condemnation of God. You're placed in Christ in heavenly places, and nobody can get you out except Jesus. And Jesus says, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Look at Luke 18:17. I've been talking about a childlike faith. That's what I have. It's a very simple childlike faith. Yes, I've been pastoring this church for 26 years. Yes, I've been through the seminary. I've got degrees. Yes, I've been traveling all over this country for 21 years, and I've done lectures in over 700 missionary Baptist churches. You say, preacher, I guess you're bragging. No, I'm not bragging. I'm simply making a point. None of that has anything to do with whether I'm going to heaven or not. None of it. Well, what does it have to do with? I want a good report. As a child, I believed if I tried to do what I was supposed to do, that when Santa Claus came, he would leave me some wonderful gifts. That's a childlike faith. My faith in Jesus Christ is just as childlike, but it's real and it's genuine, and it's based on a real and a genuine person. All the things I've done in my life don't add or take away anything from what Jesus did on the cross for my sins. I'm just as saved now as I was 68 years ago, and I'm saved by the same person, by the same work that he performed. And when he hung dying on the cross and he said, Tetelestai, it is finished. He means the sins, my sins are finished forever, those that were past, present, and future. And now I'm God's child, and nothing can separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. I always wanted to meet Santa Claus. I'm not just making this story up. I'm just sharing something with you from my life. And all the things I'm telling you here are not some clever story I made up. This is what I lived when I was young. I always wanted to meet Santa Claus. That's why I tried to stay away. I knew he was at the North Pole. And I pictured the North Pole. And I pictured this big factory he had. And he had all these little elves in there working in it. And he had Mrs. Claus was there. And he had these reindeer. And they were real to me. And I really believed that, you know, it was very real. I always wanted to meet Santa Claus. I wanted to know what it was like at the North Pole. I managed to get down our small chimney. I managed to visit all the children one night. You know, my parents never could answer those questions. They just say, Santa Claus can do anything. Well, I know this may sound rather foolish, but I want to put something to you plainly. Jesus Christ really can do everything. I know that to be a fact. Paul said, I can do all things through Christ which strengthens me. Paul said, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. Jesus said just before he ascended, all power in heaven and earth is given unto me. So now I don't have parents to tell me about Santa Claus, but I've got the word of God to tell me about Jesus. I always wanted to meet Santa Claus. But I tell you, someone I'm waiting to meet, and it's a lot more important to me and a lot realer. I'm waiting to meet Jesus Christ. I always wanted to meet Santa Claus. I wanted to know what it was like at the North Pole, how he managed to get down our small chimney, how he managed to visit all the children in one night, and what his reindeer did when they were not flying on Christmas Eve. What did they do the rest of the year? You say, that's just childish. It's not childish when you're little. It's real. You say, well, Brother McElmurray, what happened? Well, when I was in the fourth grade, all of a sudden, I was told that Santa Claus was going to go and see all the other children this year, but that I was too old for him to come to see me, and that broke my heart. Because I wanted him to keep on coming to see me. But once you get a certain age, he quits coming to see you. I used to fight to stay awake on Christmas Eve to meet him, because I knew he must love me to bring all the stuff I received. Now I have a much greater desire to meet Jesus face to face. You know, my parents never could answer a lot of questions about Santa Claus. And there's lots of things about Santa Claus I still don't understand today. But I never got to meet him, so I couldn't ask him. I never got to talk to him. Maybe one of you kids one of these nights will get to stay up and you'll get to meet him. Maybe when you put out the coffee and the milk and the milk and the cookies, maybe you'll catch him eating those cookies and drinking that milk. Maybe you'll get to talk to him. But I never did. And then I got too old, and he quit coming to see me. So if Santa Claus is still coming to see you, be thankful for it and enjoy it while you can. But when you reach a certain age, he just quits coming to see you. But you know, Jesus is quite different. He tells you all about himself, and he left a book here to do it with. It's the most interesting book I've ever seen in my life. I've got to meet Jesus. My parents never could answer a lot of questions about Santa Claus, and since I never got to meet him, I never got to ask him any questions about the North Pole and about the reindeer, about him and how he got down the chimney. So this day, I don't understand how he did it. But I understand a lot about Jesus, especially these last 26 years at the church. 1 Peter 2, 2 and 5, as newborn babes, when you are born again, when you get saved, there's a desire that comes in your heart to know more about Jesus. If you don't nurture it, pretty soon the devil just kind of glazes it over. Desire the sincere milk of the Word. Jesus tells you all about himself. He tells you all about the place he lives. He tells you all about his heavenly Father. He tells you all about the things he's got waiting for you in heaven. They're very real. There's a city three-fifths the size of the United States that's there. There's going to be a millennial reign he's going to have on this earth, and he really is coming back. And I've gotten to know him in these 26 years here. I've preached here for 26 years. I've learned more about the Lord than you all have, because I'm the one that had to study and prepare the messages I've preached for 26 years. So I never got to meet Santa Claus, but I've gotten to meet Jesus. And I tell you what I've discovered in his Word. If so be, if you have desired the sincere milk of the Word, 1 Peter 2, 2 through 5, you have tasted the Lord is gracious. Well, I sure have tasted he's gracious. He's wonderful to me. I've got 7 children. I've got 13 grandchildren, 1 great-grandchild. I've got a wonderful wife, and I've got the members of this church. This is a different kind of church. Would you actually believe that the people in this church really love me as their pastor? Would you actually believe that I really love them? Would you actually believe that we don't fight and argue and bicker all the time? Would you actually believe we care for one another? So what more can I ask from the Lord? He's given me a wonderful family, children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and a wonderful church to pastor. And the people that are members of this church know I'm not buttering them up, because most of the time I don't talk to them this way. Most of the time I go line by line, verse by verse, and I just tell them what the Lord has to say, and it convicts me and it convicts them, and it causes changes in our attitude and our thinking. But I've tasted the Lord is gracious. Never got to meet Santa Claus, but I've met Jesus. I've met him through his Word, and I know what he's like. 1 Peter 2, 2 through 5. As newborn babes, desire the sincere milk of the Word, that you may grow thereby. If so be, you've tasted that the Lord is gracious. To whom coming? Notice up there at the beginning it says as newborn babes. That's not talking about when you first come to Jesus, trust in him and receive him as Savior. It means to keep on coming. Let me tell you what may have happened to some of you in life, because it happened to me. I got saved when I was 12 years old, and I was real excited. I remember when Russell got saved. He was real excited. He just couldn't wait to tell everybody at camp. His parents were a little concerned the fact that he was kind of young. They were afraid he might not be saved. But I knew Russell was, because Russell just couldn't wait to tell everybody. So they waited, and I think that's the wise thing to do. But Russell really did love Jesus, and he really was saved. And Russell's learned a lot about the Lord. This means to keep on coming. But let me tell you what's happened to some of you here. You've done what I did. When I got saved, at first I was real interested. But then I began to lose interest. To whom coming means to keep on coming. To keep on coming. Where do you come? Well, he put the church down here for you to worship it in. You say, you're just trying to get our money. No, I'm not trying to get your money. You say, the church is trying to get our money. That's all preachers are interested in, is money. No, God's after your heart. God's after a transformation in your life. God wants you to see that his son is very real and very genuine. And he wants you to keep on coming to him and keep on coming to him. And he wants you to see how gracious he is. He's more gracious than you realize. I was 38 years old before I finally woke up and started coming. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. I love Santa Claus. Santa Claus is real good to me. And I'm not mad at him because he stopped coming to see me. You know, I wanted it to go on. And the fourth grade, when I found out, it was very disappointing that I was too old. It didn't go away. In the fifth grade, I felt just about as bad. I thought, well, you know I'm older, but why didn't he come to see me? Well, you know, when you get to be a certain age, he just stops coming to see you. But Jesus never stops coming to see you. Ye also, as lively stones, are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. That's what a church is. It's made up of lively stones, people that are built together. This church is a family. The people that come here, over a period of time, we've grown to love one another. We care for one another. We pray for one another. It's like a family. It's genuine. We all believe in Jesus, but we've all gotten to know him a whole lot better. And the more we get to know him, and the better we understand him, the better we understand ourselves, and the more we're willing to give of ourselves. You say, oh, you must think very highly of yourself. No, let me tell you about the people in this church. Kenneth, are you the chief of sinners? Daryl, are you the chief of sinners? Is there any member here of this church that does not realize they're a publican? Is there any member here who does not beat on their breast and say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner? There is not. No, we don't think highly of ourselves. We think very highly of Jesus. Because Jesus not only saves sinners, but he keeps sinners, and he's patient and long-suffering with them. And that's why we love one another. Because we've gotten to know him, and in knowing him, we've come to understand what we are. God loves for a bunch of publicans to get together and worship him, because they're truly worshiping him, because they're not pharisaical. They know exactly what they are, and they're grateful to God for the mercy he extended to them and keeps on extending. In Colossians 3, 23 and 24, this is something that God asked us to do as his children. When I was young, I used to work very hard, particularly from about the 10th of December to the 25th, so that I could have a good report when Jesus came. And I would just do it for good old Santa Claus. And I would wonder if Santa Claus were going to come see me. Ethan Allen was over at the daycare center, and he got a call from Santa Claus. And he really believed he was Santa Claus. And he told Ethan Allen if he didn't shape up and start acting right, he wasn't going to bring him anything. So in his own way, Ethan Allen shaped up. When Santa Claus came by to see him the other day, Ethan Allen was somewhat dumbfounded when he saw Santa Claus. The truth of the matter is, now I'm working for a far different reason and for someone who is really marvelous and wonderful and someone that I've grown to love very much. He's always loved me. Never been any question about that. But the question is, why do I do what I do and why am I up here doing this? Is it for money? Is it for attention? Is it for recognition? Is it for praise? Am I presenting this just to be cute? No. I'm presenting it because it's the truth. And it's the truth about a relationship with Christ that's meant to build up after you come to believe in him and he saves your soul. Colossians 3, 23 and 24. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily. That's from the soul, the saved soul, ekpasike. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily, as to the Lord, not unto men. Knowing that of the Lord you shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for you serve the Lord Christ. After you're saved, God wants your life. God wants your service. God wants your heart. God wants you to learn to work for him. Not for praise, not for recognition, not for attention, not for money, but just for him. You show me someone that comes to church because they love the Lord and they want to please him, and I'll show you someone that'll keep on coming. You show me someone that comes to church because they like the pastor, or they like the pews, or they like the programs, or they like the people, or they like this, and I'll show you someone that won't keep coming to church because pretty soon the thing that they love won't be there anymore and they'll leave. But Jesus is always there. He says, in whom ye also are builded together for a habitation of God through the Spirit. Paul said, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. So I tried to be real good and live a good life from about the 10th of December to the 25th. That's pretty short lived. What does Jesus expect from me? I'm saved. He saved me by his grace. I've gotten to know him. He expects me to try to have a good report every day. And when I fail, he expects me to ask for forgiveness. If we are faithful and just to confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when I ask for forgiveness of my sins, he forgives. Then he expects me to keep on trying to have a good report. When I fail again, I confess my sins again. When I fail again, I confess my sins again. That's what a Christian life is. It's an awareness that you are a sinner. It's making a conscious effort to control the flesh. And when you fail, it's asking God for forgiveness. And that's what serving it is. And that's what pressing toward the mark for the prize, the high calling of God in Christ Jesus really is. Christmas Eve was the most exciting time of the year for me. We were a very poor family, born in the Depression, didn't have much. Dad abandoned us when I was 8 years old. But it wasn't what I got, it was who brought it. And this fellow in a red suit that was coming with a reindeer, they told me sometimes elves rode with him. It was marvelous. Christmas Eve was the most exciting time of the year for me. I would try to stay awake and watch for Santa, but somehow always seemed to fall asleep before he came. I always left milk and cookies out for him, and sure enough, the plate along with the glass would be empty on Christmas morning. He would fill up my stocking with fruit, nuts, and candy. You don't know what it meant for me to get up on Christmas morning and to see those stockings full when they hadn't had anything in them the night before. This was back during the Depression. And he would leave me gifts under the tree. It was the saddest day of my young existence when I became too old for him to bring me gifts. So for those of you that Santa Claus is still coming to see now, one of these days you get too old. I know that's sad, and I know it doesn't make you feel good, but it's what happens. And one day I reached that age in about the fourth grade, and so he hadn't brought me any gifts since then. It was a disappointment that bothered me every year at Christmas time for several years. I'd always dreamed of going to the North Pole with Santa to meet Mrs. Santa Claus, all the elves in the toy factory, and all the reindeer. But Santa only loved me when I was a child. I'm glad he loved me. I appreciate that. But Santa only loved me when I was a child. And when I grew older, he stopped showing his love for me. I'm glad he showed his love for me when I was young. But when I got older, then who's going to show me love? But I will never be disappointed by the Spirit-breathed, inspired account of the man named Jesus Christ. God gave me his perfect, completed word to let me know that when it tells me something, I will never be disappointed, because Jesus gives me more and more as I grow older in it. I had a million questions about Santa Claus. Oh, Lord, I asked him. I'd ask my grandparents. I'd ask my uncles. I'd ask my aunts. How did he do this? How did he do that? Well, one day I got old and he didn't come see me anymore. But Jesus, when I came to him, Jesus gave me something that makes me realize I will never, never be disappointed, because Jesus gives me more and more of his word as I grow older and older. In 1 Corinthians 13:11-12, when I was a child, I spake as a child, I understood as a child, I thought as a child. And so it was natural for me to believe that a man came and brought me these gifts. And he stopped bringing them to me, and he loved me for a while and cared for me. But when the age came that I reached a certain age, he stopped. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Well, what do you think of Santa Claus now? Well, I'm glad he comes to see kids that are young. I don't begrudge him that. It was a pretty good time of life for me. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. That's all behind me now. For now we see through a glass darkly. Paul said, I'm trying to see myself like I'm looking in a polished piece of brass. That's all they had back then. They didn't have mirrors like we have. He says, but then face to face. He says, when I see something, when God's Son gives me something, he said, I won't just know in part, but then face to face. I know in part, but then shall I know even as also I am known. God gave us his word. He gave us this book. It reveals Jesus Christ to us. And just as important, it reveals ourselves to us. And as we see ourselves and see our shortcomings, it makes us more and more grateful to Jesus Christ. And now I have a book called the Bible, and it's completed. It's finished. Now I can look in it like a mirror, and I can understand what my Savior is like. I can understand what God is like by watching my Savior, and I can understand what I'm like by seeing its many deficiencies revealed to me that I am guilty of. There were a lot of questions about Santa Claus that my parents couldn't answer. So I never really got to know him, but Jesus has already answered a lot of questions I had about him by his word. And I know he will continue to answer a lot more as I continue to study it. I learned a lot about him by learning about myself. In Philippians 3:10, we're told something that Paul indicated was very important to him. Paul's the one who said, "When I became a man, I put away childish things." Well, Santa Claus is behind me now. For those of you that are young and still enjoying Santa Claus, enjoy it while you can. But that's behind me now. What do I want now? That I may know him. Paul said that I may know him. I've gotten to know an awful lot about Jesus Christ in the 26 years I've been here. I give you my word, I've tried to study and present the word of God. I've tried to be true to the Lord. And I've tried to preach and teach his word the way I believe that God put it there. I've gotten to know him and the power of his resurrection. Now I understand more and more about the power that is in Christ and the glory of the resurrection that's coming. And I can see the power of God in Christ. And I believe a man can do all things by Christ which strengthen him, and the fellowship of his sufferings. If you don't serve the Lord after you're saved, the devil will probably leave you alone, and God may let you go your own way, and you'll never know what it means to be a child of God. The Bible says, "Yea, they that live godly shall suffer persecution." I haven't gone through a lot of persecution, but I've gone through some as a man who preaches and teaches the truth. Not everybody likes what I believe. Not everybody likes what I teach and preach. I've understood some of the fellowships of his sufferings. Certainly nothing like he went through. He said very clearly, "You have not resisted unto blood, being made conformable unto his death." Now I think I understand a lot of things about Christ. Why he died, some of the things he went through, but the spiritual suffering he endured, I doubt if I will ever understand in all of eternity. I'm just thankful he was willing to do it. In John 8:31-32, "Then said Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, If you continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, my true disciples, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." I never did learn the truth about Santa Claus. I never did understand how he got down that chimney. I never got to see him. I never got to see the North Pole. I never understood how he could visit all those children in 1 year. I never understood that, and I never will. But it's different. When I became a man, I put away childish things. They're behind me. Now I know the truth. I know what the truth is. And I know who Jesus is. And I know what he has done for me, what he is doing for me. And I understand a lot of things about what he can do for me. I don't mean to impress you with the fact that I'm some kind of a spiritual giant. I'm anything but that. But I'm a man who's come to understand a lot about himself. And that's what the Word of God will do. It'll help you understand about Jesus and about yourself while you're doing it. The more of the truth I learn about him, the more I learn about my own unworthiness, and the more I desire to go home with him. Around Christmas time, I had one thing on my mind, the night when Santa would come. And I thought the greatest thing that could ever happen was for him to take me back to the North Pole to live with him. And all the other North Pole personalities, the reindeer, the elves, Miss Claus, I don't know. Did you ever have things like that? Was I unique? Was I different? I always wanted to go there. I always wanted to see the North Pole. I'm not kidding you. I really wanted. And I wanted to see those little elves, and I wanted to see Santa Claus there, and I wanted to see him in their workshop, and I wanted to meet his wife, and I just had a picture in my mind what they were all like. I wanted that very much when I was a child. But when I became a man, I put away childish things. Now I know that I'm already living where Jesus lives. It's just a question of time until it becomes a completed reality. In Ephesians 2, 6, and 7, and these are the last verses, "And hath raised us up together." 56 years ago, I came forward and asked Jesus Christ to save me. He did. God crucified me with his Son, buried me with his Son, resurrected me with his Son, and made us set together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's what Paul meant when he said, I am crucified with Christ, nevertheless I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life that I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith, the power, by the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I'm sitting in Christ Jesus right now in heaven, and nothing can separate from me. He said he would never cast me out. He said his Father would never cast me out. Well, what am I looking forward to? Well, Santa Claus is never going to come see me anymore. I'm just too old. So I never did get to see Santa Claus. But I'm going to get to see Jesus. Matter of fact, I'm already there. And the more I study that book, I feel like I'm there. The more I study this book we call the Bible, I don't know, I never got to see Santa's workshop, never got to see Miss Claus, the elves, the reindeer. But Jesus has shown me a lot of things that are right there in heaven. And it's just like I've been there and I've seen them. And they're very real. Now, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. This is going to happen. Then the ages to come, he might show the exceeding riches of his grace and his kindness toward us through Jesus Christ. I'm never going to get to go to the North Pole, but that's fine. I'm never going to get to see Santa Claus. That's fine. I'll never get to see the reindeer, the elves, Miss Claus. That's fine. I don't mind it. That's okay. Because I'm going to get to see Jesus. I'm going to get to see all the exceeding riches of his grace and the kingdom age to come. And that's what I think about all year. Not just this time of year, but I think about it all year. It's the reason for living. And as you grow older, if you don't have this, you'll discover there's no purpose in life. In Philippians 3:20-21, these are the last verses. For our conversation is in heaven, from whence also we look for our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. I never got to see Santa Claus, but I'm going to get to see the Lord Jesus Christ. And I'm not going to be sleeping when he comes back. I'm going to be very much awake. Who shall change our vile body, that it might be fashioned like unto his glorious body? That's so that we can make the trip and be where he is. We've got to be like him. According to the working whereby he is able to subdue all things unto himself. Will you have a good report when he comes? Brothers and sisters in Christ, it's not the 10th of December. But in prophetic time, I would say it was. For the first time in history, we're having more things happen than have ever happened in history, denoting it's the last time. Are you making more of this life than it's worth? Paul said in 2 Corinthians 5:2-3, for in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon with our house which is from heaven. This is eternal. You know all the gifts that Santa brought me? They're gone. But I have something waiting for me in heaven. Why should I want a good report? If so, that being clothed, we shall not all be found naked. Naked to, this word naked to the people that wrote this, didn't mean buck naked like when you went swimming out in the swimming hole and wore your birthday suit. It simply meant that you didn't have on a beautiful outer garment. It simply means that there was a reward waiting for you in heaven that you didn't claim. It means that Jesus never became real to you. Jesus is absolutely, genuinely, completely, and utterly real. And I'm not a child anymore. I'm a man. And I put away childish things. But I have a childlike faith as a man, and I know that his word is true. It would have been impossible for 40 different men over a 1,500 to 1,600 year period to put all this together and for it not to be true. Well, this is one time, and one day I'll wake up and I'll be with him, and it'll be forever. So what is my life now? I'm trying to have a good report when he comes. Nobody but you personally can make that good report before the Lord. And you've got to have his help to do it. If God's dealing with you this morning, I hope you'll come. As Darrell comes forward, as the song leader and musicians come forward, I've shown you the word of God. The rest is a personal matter between you and his spirit.